You are listening to the GTT podcast from the Canadian Council of the Blind.
Welcome to GTT New Westminster for August 28th, 2019. Your facilitators today are Ryan Fleury from Canadian Assistive Technology and Kim Kilpatrick from the Canadian Council of the Blind GTT program in Ottawa. The topic today will be Soundscape, and we have a couple of wonderful guests from Microsoft to tell us all about it.
Then Amos and Jarnell, what we'd like to do is have you guys talk about the Soundscape GPS app, kind of what's new, now it's available in Canada, possible features that might be coming out, and also at the end we'll leave some time for some questions because I think there's a few of them out there. We have from the Microsoft Soundscape team joining us today, Jarnell Judge and Amos Miller. Guys, I'm so pleased you're able to make it today. Thanks so much.
Pleasure to be here, Ryan. Thank you for inviting us to join this wonderful group. And really excited. Thank you.
Yeah, just to echo what Amos said, thank you for the opportunity. It was, as you can imagine, a pretty exciting time for us when we eventually released Soundscape a few months ago in Canada, in French, in Canadian French, and in English. And to have the opportunity to talk with you all about, I guess, some of the origins of the program. I think it's always useful to share a little bit of the journey that we've been on, how it started, and hopefully that will help explain, I guess, some of the decisions that we've taken with particular use to designing Soundscape. And I guess a lot of the thought and the research that has gone into it. And then, of course, we'll go into a little bit more detail about what it is. We're, I guess, assuming, and let us know if this is correct or not, that you're all to some extent familiar with Soundscape. And hopefully many of you have downloaded it, installed it, tried it out. If not, then we're keen to understand why that may be the case, notwithstanding that we're currently only available on iOS devices, but nonetheless very keen to hear about people's first experiences, their first impressions. So if that sounds like a good sort of structure, we'll probably maybe take about 25, 30 minutes or so just going through a little bit of the journey that we've been on, what Soundscape is, how it works, some of the key experiences that we've evolved and iterated on and put them into the app as they are, and maybe share a little bit more about some of the plans, some of the hopes that we have for Soundscape in the future. So Soundscape in its current form is an app that we brought to market about 15, 16 months ago. But its story goes back a good few years before then. It actually started when Amos, when he was in the UK, he's now living in the US in Washington State, just outside Seattle. It's when he became a trustee and then chairman of the Guide Dogs charity, the NGO here in the UK. And Guide Dogs, if you're not familiar with the UK setup here, is a separate organization to the RNIB, the Royal National Institute for the Blind. Its main focus is really on, as the name suggests, on breeding service dogs and getting them to the people who will benefit from them. And I think worldwide, they are the largest breeder of dogs. And when Amos became the chairman back in 2009, 2010 timeframe. It was during a period when the organization was undergoing some change itself, particularly thinking about how technology could help it scale and be more effective. And Amos and I had worked together on a number of different projects in the past. My background is in design and user experience in particular. And Amos's background is in business strategy and in technology. And he and I worked together, and he felt that taking a bit more of a design-led approach to helping guide dogs get into a better position where they could understand how technology could assist and enable them as an organization to be more efficient, to be more effective, etc., was what really started this all. He introduced me to the CEO. We ran a workshop, and this was back in 2011. And out of that workshop, we spent a lot of time just talking about the hopes and aspirations that Guide Dogs had as an organization, and in particular, the sorts of stories around the impact that they wanted to have, they wanted to be able to tell 5-7 years out into the future. And it was one theme that came out of that two-day workshop that really resonated with both ourselves at Microsoft, but also Guide Dogs, and that was around mobility and independence. And how could technology truly empower a person to move about freely, to go where they wanted to go on their own terms? And I'm abridging massively here. We then, the following year, had the opportunity to produce a concept video. And in that concept video, we started off by doing a lot of research, working very closely with orientation and mobility specialists inside Guide Dogs, with Guide Dogs mobility instructors and trainers, and spent a lot of time shadowing them, observing them, and also being taught by them some of the core techniques and skills that they work with their customers with. And it was during one of these visits in London that it was a historic part of London, and full of little narrow alleyways, cobbled streets, and courtyards and so on. And during one of these visits, we were walking along, exploring, discovering all sorts of history and cultural information about the place that we were in. And on reflection, about 2 days afterwards, Amos and I were just discussing this. And Amos mentioned that there was a fountain that we could hear, but not always see. And sometimes that sound of that fountain was coming directly ahead of us, or it was behind us, or it was to the side of us. And while we were discussing this, we suddenly realized that that sound of the fountain was actually acting as an anchor of some sort. It was allowing us to get a sense of where we were in relation to it, because we could place it outside of our heads, and we could place it relative to where we were and where the sound was coming from. And that's what really made us start thinking about using sound as a way of enhancing the person's awareness and appreciation of where they are and what's around them. And on the back of that concept video, we then were fortunate enough to receive some very high-level sponsorship inside Microsoft that allowed us to basically do a couple of years of research and development here in the UK, working directly in the field, very closely with people with blindness and low vision, with mobility instructors, with experts in orientation and mobility, rehabilitation, and also a range of different partners, from people who ran and operated bus companies, train stations, shopping centers, supermarkets, the actual city urban environment, because we were doing our research and development in these normal everyday life places, which is what we had actually reflected in the video, and which meant that we did everything possible to retain true to that vision that we tried to articulate in the original concept video. And it was through this sponsorship that we were able to basically bring to bear the breadth and depth of expertise and insight from a technology, from a design perspective that exists within Microsoft. And the key guidance that we were given, in particular by Jenny Leigh Fleury, who's now our Chief Accessibility Officer, was to really focus on the human experience and not worry so much about the technology. It was very much a case of, we know that this technology, particularly around sound that we were working on, was in its relative infancy, but the supporting infrastructure would eventually catch up if we could demonstrate the human value. And that's what we really focused on. And through all sorts of ups and downs and twists and turns, we learned a lot during those 2 years. And we'll go into some of those lessons and insights when we go and describe some of the core features of Soundscape in a little bit more detail. But after we came out of that two-year phase, and some of the research in particular that Guide Dogs themselves had carried out through their research department, that was when we began to get confidence that this was a technology that was empowering people so that they could decide if they wanted to go from one place to another, how to get there. Instead of being told prescriptively in a turn-by-turn navigation system kind of way, Soundscape was allowing people to really build a mental map of where they were and what was around them and give them enough information about their surroundings so that they could choose how they wanted to get from one place to another. And that really has been the foundation of the whole Soundscape philosophy about empowering people to make their own choices. And just to sort of close out this initial phase, after we had confidence that this was the right approach based on the research and the insights, we then basically transitioned out of research and development into incubation. And that's when we moved into the Enable team, where we've been for the last couple of years. The Enable team is a group that was set up within Microsoft about 4 or 5 years ago. And its primary goal is to look at how technology can assist people with disabilities, but to do so in a way that has broader value and benefit for everybody. And the first project that spun out of our team was around Windows Eye Control, in particular helping people with ALS to have a full Windows experience with an appropriate eye tracking device that would allow them to, purely through eye gaze alone, control their entire computing experience. And then the second project that was brought in a couple of years ago was Soundscape. And of course, after we brought in, we then had to make that transition from being a research and development team into one that was very much focused on bringing something to market. So I remained in the UK. Amos moved to the US. And we spent the first 6 months essentially putting a new team together. And then we spent about a year, really, taking all of that sort of hacky proof of concept type of code that we had built in the proof of concept stage in the research and development stage and turning that into robust, reliable, trustworthy code. And when we released Soundscape in March 2018, it was initially in the UK and US because that's obviously where we had a presence. But equally, because it was a new technology and it was a new paradigm in terms of a person and how they relate to the environment that they're in, we were quite deliberate and cautious in rolling it out. And central to the way that we've been approaching this, because we have since launched in Australia last year and a few months ago in Canada, central to that has been the partnerships that we've developed with CNIB in Canada, with Vision Australia in Australia, because our belief is that by working with key partners in the community, who, if they themselves see value in what Soundscape is doing, then it gives us confidence that we're doing the right thing, releasing and launching in the country, because it's under the support and auspices of a respected and trusted organization.
As you mentioned earlier, it is only available on iOS. Can you maybe explain some of the features and how it differs from some of the other products on the market?
Soundscape uses sound in 3D to help you build up a picture of where you are and what's around you. And what we mean by that is the nearby points of interest or landmarks that are around you will actually get called out from where they actually are. And in order to be able to do that, Soundscape requires a stereo headset. And we can talk about sort of headsets and hardware and people's preferences in a moment. But by having stereo, it enables us to spatialize the sound and place it where that landmark or that point of interest actually is, and to do so in a way that even when you're wearing headphones or AirPods or whatever, the sound appears to come from about a meter outside of your head. And this is really important because it then allows you to be able to spatially place it outside of you in the way that we naturally do. In the way that when we're out and about, we're having a conversation with somebody, we pay attention to that person that we're with, but equally we can hear everything else that's going on around us. And we know where things are happening around us because we're able to just very naturally, intuitively as human beings, spatialize sound.
This is Amos here, and just kind of to reinforce, because that's the probably the main idea that Soundscape brings to the community, is this notion that if you can hear what's around you in 3D space and you can take that information with the least cognitive effort, as in thinking about the information that you're receiving, then that additional richness of your awareness of your surroundings, where things are, where the roads go, where your destination is, if that's all received by you as a user in a way that doesn't require your attention, that you can maintain your attention on working the dog, on the traffic, on the environment, on a conversation that you're having with somebody else, whatever you're doing, then that gets us closer and closer to that notion that you have a richer perception of your space in which you can move. So that's kind of the primary idea. And when you install Soundscape on your phone, you will find that it is a very, very simple app. It doesn't have a lot of settings and a lot of complexity. In effect, even if you did absolutely nothing on the screen and you just installed it on your phone, gone through the kind of a few welcome steps and enabled location and terms and conditions and all that, once you get to the main screen of the app, you could pretty much at that point plug in your headset, walk outside, and Soundscape will start working. It will start calling out. And I can demonstrate that in a minute for you if we can do that, Ryan. And so just as a very, we're calling it kind of the most passive experience, because the Soundscape is designed to fall into the background, to disappear, not to be something that you use as something that you have to deal with and pay attention to all the time. Just as an example, when I leave the house, usually I have Soundscape is already, it kind of runs on my phone all the time anyway. And then once I leave the house, it starts calling out the points of interest that I'm past. I often don't even notice it for the first 20 minutes of my journey. For me, that's good. That means that the technology has fallen into the background. It's not a primary. I can read email at the same time. I can listen to a podcast. I can have a conversation with my kid on the bus. And Soundscape is just there, but is not in the way. If you want, I can actually... Janelle, would you like me to kind of bring it up on the screen here? And kind of?
I think that's a great idea. There's nothing like a bit of a simulated exercise to really bring it to life. And just to reinforce Emerson's point earlier on about
August 28th,
Soundscape is designed to complement your long cane or your guide dog. It's designed to provide an additional layer of information and to work in harmony with those. This was an important lesson that came from the research that we did. And as Amos said, just having it run in the background, just blend into put the phone in your bag or your pocket, and Soundscape just blends into the background. It'll continue giving you a sense of where you are and what's around you based on maybe some of the things that you may have selected to get called out. But other than that, as Emil said, you very quickly become familiar with it.
So I have Soundscape on my screen here. Tell me if you can hear it, Ryan. I have Soundscape on my screen here. It's a very, very simple layout, and I'm actually going to start from the bottom. I spoke about the passive experience when you walk around outside. But Soundscape also has four buttons at the bottom of the screen that are designed to be used while you're walking around in order to get just a bit more information if you're looking for it. So those four buttons are...
My location button.
Starting from the right, my location, which is simply what street you're on and which direction you're facing, where is the next intersection, just very high level, your location. The second one is...
Nearby markers button.
Nearby markers. We'll talk about markers later on, but those are markers that you can personalize so that you can locate specific things that you have marked for yourself, like a post box that you go to or a specific spot in the park. So we'll talk about markers.
Around me button.
Around me is really the four points of interest around you, in front, to the right, behind, and to the left. And ahead of me is the...
Ahead of me button.
Is whichever way you're facing, you'll get 5 points of interest that are ahead of you. So those are the four buttons that you can use when you walk around to get a little bit more information. You don't have to use them. As I said, Soundscape works without pressing a single button. You can just walk. Above that is an area where you get a list of all your callouts. It's called the callout history. That's just a list that builds up if you want to look at something that you've heard before and just check again. How it was spelled or where it was, or if you want to set a beacon to it, I'll explain the beacon in a moment. Above that is the
set audio beacon.
A great button. Big button to set an audio beacon. And that is how you tell Soundscape where you want to go. If you want to, the idea with Soundscape is that instead of giving you step-by-step instructions somewhere, you will place a virtual audio beacon on that destination so that you can hear where it is and you make your way there. There are a couple more buttons here. There's a way to put Soundscape to sleep. That's on the top of the screen. There's a way to create a marker in the current location, and there's a menu. And that's it. That's what we have on the main screen. So to demonstrate this, what I thought we'll do is we'll take a little tour in downtown Manhattan. Imagine that we'll take the walk all together.
I did have one question myself. I love using Soundscape. I've been very excited by that, and I particularly like it when I get a little turned around. So I'm at the moment sort of between guide dogs. My guide dog is kind of semi-retired, and I realized how much they do that I didn't know. So I'm back to the cane, and I wandered into a big open space a little bit that I didn't know existed. And I pointed my phone and kind of got the around me cues and the nearest intersection, and I could face the way I wanted to face and get out of that. Whereas before, you would have to wait for assistance from somebody. So that was awesome. I just love that. So thank you for that. I had one question, though. One problem I'm having sometimes is sometimes the directions are reverse. So I don't know if I have to have my phone in my pocket a certain way or if there's anything to do. Like sometimes it says something's on my right or it's in my right ear, but I know it's on my left. So am I doing something wrong? That's one thing I wanted to know.
To answer your question, first of all, the best thing about thank you for the compliments, and we do our best to get Soundscape to work well for people. So we love getting positive as well as constructive feedback. The point I wanted to make is I am delighted that you decided that the information you're getting from Soundscape is wrong, and you've decided to override that because the technology is always going to get things slightly wrong, whether it's the direction or the information or anything else. And what we have taken great important steps in the design is not to even give you the impression that you can just sit back and follow Soundscape's instructions and not pay attention to what you're doing or what you know better. Yeah?
Yeah.
Initially, actually, Soundscape was a lot more prescriptive in telling you which way to go and what you need to do. And we found that people were taking that too much to heart and doing very silly things, like walking into the middle of an intersection when there was clearly a busy intersection there, and things like that. And the power that technology seems to have over people's decision making is incredible. So we've paired it right back to the other end and said, we'll give you information, but at all times you're in charge. So that was the first, I think, for something that we've always have to remember, that you're in charge. And Soundscape will never give you the impression that it knows better. Having said that, it should have got the correct direction. That sometimes happens with the iPhone compass, that it loses direction, especially if you are not in movement.
So what should I do? Does the phone have to be facing a certain way in my pocket?
So if you are not moving, if you are not in movement, then Soundscape would look for you to hold your phone flat in your hand in order to get the correct direction. Okay? Yeah. If you are in movement, it will use the direction of your movement.
Okay? So it doesn't matter which way the phone is in my bag or my pocket, screen is facing? Okay.
Which way it's facing in your pocket or in your bag. While you walk, when you stop, for example, at an intersection, if you use an audio beacon, for example, to get somewhere, you will notice that when you stop at an intersection, the audio beacon will also actually quieten down because the compass at that point is lost. So the audio beacon disappears for a while. If you pull your phone out and point it somewhere, it will come back. Or if you start walking in a certain direction, it will come back.
What we would suggest is, as you said, it doesn't really matter whether you have it upside down, front or back. But if you have it on the front of your person rather than behind you in your back pocket or something like that, then it's going to be a little bit better. Because if you have it in your back pocket, the compass signal then basically has to travel through your body and all the liquid that we're largely made up of as human beings. And that often can have a bit of a unsettling effect on it.
Okay, hello, everybody. So full disclosure, I haven't started using Soundscape yet, but I've chatted with a few people who have. And I'm calling about the subset of people who are totally blind and don't have or don't want a guide dog and live in a city. So the issue for, I'm going to say people like me, is that in order to proceed down a sidewalk using the cane, you're supposed to find the two edges of the sidewalk, right side, left side, sweep, find obstructions. So in the city, often the sidewalks are like double or triple wide or have fire hydrants on one side or stores on the other. So there's like no edges for the cane to find, what Albert calls no beach edge. So how do I know that I am walking straight down the sidewalk? So the only solution I could think of would be if there were a good compass heading that, you know, I could either record at the beginning saying, I know the sidewalk is going at, you know, 271 north. And then every 1 or 2 or 5 seconds, it would give me a deviation, 2 degrees, you know, to the right, 2 degrees to the left. That would be the only way I could think about it. So, A, can you think, you know, of how to keep me on the sidewalk? Because if I just deviate a few steps, you know, 5 degrees to my right, I'm in trouble. And that's really, really scary without a guide dog and, you know, a bunch of people around me. So, you know, can you think of another solution for that? Or would you consider as a suggestion to implement having an accurate compass heading available in real time, of course, suitably smoothed out because our body's moving, so the compass moving?
Yeah, great question. The immediate thought, and I'd love you to hear once you've tried Soundscape, to hear if that worked for you. The way that you can start addressing that question, and Soundscape is very well designed for big open spaces, because it does not require you to follow instructions or to follow a certain line or a certain road. So in the example that you gave, if you placed the audio beacon on a point of interest that was straight ahead of you somewhere,
yeah,
you would hear the beacon in that direction, and you'd be able to walk in a straight line towards it. And if you deviated left or right, you would just hear that it's a little bit further to your left or to your right.
Even a couple of degrees, because it doesn't take much to get into trouble when you're in the city.
I wouldn't rely on a couple of degrees. I think that's the compass errors in the electronic compasses in the phone are pretty. I wouldn't rely on a couple of degrees, but you'd be good with 10 degrees or so. 5 to 10.
Okay, so are you saying that the compass that comes standard in an iPhone is like plus or minus like 10 degrees? So even if you were to implement this, the accuracy of the device is not good enough to, I mean, you talk about big open wide spaces. I'm talking about narrow spaces that if I deviate from them, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, I would say that.
Yeah. And Hilton, just to sort of understand the scenario that you described of walking down, let's say, a side street in the middle of a city, some of the techniques that we've learned about and experienced, the shorelining, for example, using the cane to actively find the building line, or if that's not appropriate for whatever reason, then the pavement or the curb, which is slightly more dangerous because you're closer to the road,
sure.
Of course. So the thing certainly that when we've done work and research visits with O&M specialists is that first and foremost, when they're working with their clients and they're using Soundscape, to stress that the cane is the primary mobility aid in this case, because it's the one that's giving you direct
sure.
tactile feedback
sure.
about where you are and any potential obstacles. Because as you know, with the cane, you're actively looking for obstacles
sure.
and things to hit. Mm-hmm. And then Soundscape on top of that, as Amos described it, you'll get information about where you are, and every 25 or so meters you'll get a periodic update. If
right.
you're heading towards a particular point of interest or a destination, and you've got to sort of come up to intersections or turn right or turn left, this is where the sound is intended to guide you.
Thank you.
So that when you're directly facing where you're heading towards, then you'll hear this really very clear pinging sound. But obviously, you know, in the world, we have to deal with left turns and right turns and intersections and so on. We're not going to walk as the crow flies towards where we want to get to. And that's where a very subtle sound to the right or a subtle sound to the left provides you with a cue to think about turning left and to think about turning right. But what Soundscape does, it'll tell you about the upcoming intersection or the previous mm-hmm. road or whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
But the key thing here is,
why don't I demonstrate?
I think, of course, from a technology point of view, the challenges that compass, GPS, on one day it can be good, the next day, because the weather's changed or
sure.
something else has changed in the environment,
right.
it can be completely unpredictable.
Okay.
Because I haven't downloaded the app yet, but I came in today to listen to this to understand a little bit more about it. But the big thing I have is, does it use a, because I know GPS does use a lot of data. Does this use a lot of data on your phone when you're out?
The way that Soundscape works is that it will download the maps of your particular area and then just work off the downloaded maps, which means it doesn't continue to use data when you walk around, unless you get beyond the sort of square mile or so that you were in which case it will go ahead and get another batch of data. But it's relatively very, very small amounts of data. So it's not from the year and a half that we've been up and running, that has not been an issue that anybody raised, that Soundscape is data hungry. the contrary. Once it's downloaded, you don't even need the data connection.
I really encourage everyone to download it. I thought everyone was like me and did it on the first day. But I really do encourage that because it is free. I will say the first time I heard something behind my left ear, I just about thought someone was coming at me. I got really scared because it's so realistic sounding that I thought, what in the world is that? But I do really encourage it because it's very accurate with what intersections you're coming to. It's very, it's good to listen to on a bus. I find that really helpful when you're sitting on a bus. And again, it's telling you what you're going by and what streets you're crossing and all of that. I've done it in a car and a bus and also, of course, walking. And when I was away on vacation, I was in an unfamiliar area. So it was good to hear what was around me that I didn't know. I marked the hotel with a beacon. And so I could get back there independently, more independently than I normally would feel good about that. I marked a place in the park with my guide dog, like as a bit of a beacon too. So like, I just think it's a great app. I really think everyone should get it.
Can you explain maybe to everybody what you mean by marked a place in the park? Because I think that that's a really cool feature, but I'm just curious.
There's a park and then there's like a benches kind of in the middle, but they're hard to find because, you know, it's a big open space. And so we could walk around the park, and then I wanted to go to the benches, and when I got to the benches, I marked it so that when I got away from the benches and I wanted to come back to the benches, like, you know, I could mark that. And by the benches, there's also a big garbage can, so I would know that I could throw any bags in there that I needed. So because it was open with all kinds of paths that come in, like spokes of the wheel from the side, I'm sure we've all had those where you think you're on a straight path, but it's so slowly curving that you don't really know. And it's like this area in the middle has a water fountain where you can get your dog a drink or yourself one, and the benches and the garbage cans, which I would never know what area I was coming at it from. I thought I would know, and my orientation is pretty good, but I could never seem to do it right. So I marked that, and that was really great because it took me there. So that's what I did there. And when I marked the hotel on vacation, like when I was getting close, it would beep like straight ahead of me, and I would know because I had to go through a parking lot. So I would kind of know whether I was doing that or whether I was off kilter a little bit. So it really did, like those things really, really have helped me. So I really, once I understood that it's not a full-fledged GPS, I really love it. I love it a lot.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Will it work when you're in a bus, traveling in a bus, so you've got an idea of where you're at?
It most certainly works in a bus and the car. It's actually designed to spot when you are in a vehicle. It reduces some of the verbosity, so it won't speak as much when you are in a vehicle just to... Because one of the things, like I said earlier, we don't want soundscape isn't about you knowing every little thing that you pass. Otherwise, it will drive you crazy after 5 minutes of using it. Yeah, it's more about helping you build a mental map. So it chooses certain landmarks along the way and certain things that are that will not be too verbose. It won't speak too much, but it'll give you a sense of where you are on your journey. So you'll see a difference in behavior when you're in a car and a bus, but most definitely you can even set a beacon. For example, if you're on a bus, you can set your destination as a beacon, and you can hear as you get closer and closer to it in which direction it's in, how far you're from it. When you get closer and closer, you already know that you have to start. You don't actually have to pay attention the whole way. You just kind of have a general sense that you're getting closer.
Can you set it just so that it'll just read out intersections, like when you're traveling in the bus?
You can. There is a setting that you can turn off other announcements. And it just calls out, by the way, it doesn't call out every intersection. It calls out every time you get onto a new road. So when you turn or when you switch roads. Again, to keep the verbosity as low as possible. But try it out with the full call outs, because we have done work to minimize the amount of garbage that it calls out.
I have three or four short questions, which I will ask very quickly and then be quiet and let the experts give the answers. The first one is, all the landmarks and things that seem to be there, I mean, I'm walking around Victoria, you know, and I hear crosswalk, bus stop, stairs going down to the beach. It doesn't say that, but it just says stairway. And these all seem to be things that aren't in Google Maps or Apple Maps or anything. They seem to come from a whole new mystery place. And I'm wondering if you can explain where they come from. The next one is the voice. And when I first listened to the voice, I thought, why does it have this weird effect on it that's sort of like a bit of reverb or something? But I think you might have done that on purpose, because what it does, and you said about the technology falling into your environment, to have that far away effect, it's almost like the building is calling to you from a distance.
Hey, fantastic.
Which is in direct contrast to a speech synthesizer. You know, let's face it, speech synthesizers sound like they were closed mic. And I don't know if you did it on purpose, but that effect you've given on the voice is what it keeps it falling into the environment, so you can still concentrate on, for example, I would use Nearby Explorer to get street numbers. And my last one is, apparently there's a special way that even when you get as close as you think you can get to a landmark, that there's another thing you can do to take you down one more level and be actually that much closer to the landmark. Like you might be within a few feet of it, and there's something else you can do to get it even more accurate. And I don't know what I'm talking about, but maybe you do. So anyway.
We use as our primary source of information something called OpenStreetMap. And the beauty of OpenStreetMap is that it's basically data that's been generated by people like you and I, people who want to go out and annotate the environment that they live in. So it has a level of detail that you won't find in Google or Apple Maps, for example. And then a few months ago, at the time of the release in Canada, we also started to include Bing data, because that was providing us with the ability to be able to search for addresses and things like that. So through a combination of OpenStreetMap, which is crowdsourced, and through Bing data, you have a pretty rich and comprehensive data map of the world. Great feedback about the voice. And yeah, I think it's unique in how each one of us perceives voice and how we interpret it. So it's wonderful that you're having this experience. And I think your idea of it beckoning you is kind of exactly what we're after. And then finally, about those last few feet, as Emma said earlier on, because of the inconsistencies with GPS, for example, we'll quieten soundscape about 10, 15 feet before you arrive at an entrance to the destination that you've set, because that's where we want to make it clear that we're handing off to you and your mobility skills to take those last few steps, because technology at this point is just not reliable. We know that on the horizon, there are other technologies, and we're very excited by the potential of maybe partnering with others or looking at other technologies like computer or machine vision, and how they might be able to take us those last few feet with greater confidence.
When is the Android version going to come out? And as a low vision person, especially going to unfamiliar places, that could be a real help to me. Familiar places, not as much. So I just want to know what you think about using it for things you know or things you don't know, as far as, you know, locations. And
sure. I think in terms of, and this is the feedback we've been getting from so many people, is that when they use it in places that they're already familiar with, they learn so much more that they just weren't aware of. So using it in a familiar place, it will hopefully enrich your experience. And once you then start to get familiar with how soundscape works, then hopefully it will encourage you to discover and explore places you're less familiar with. Because, you know, as Kim so eloquently put it, if you place a marker on a known place, and then if you wander off to explore a part of town you're not familiar with, you can always come back because the marker will guide you. So hopefully, you know, you'll begin to build that confidence to expand the boundaries of the spaces that that you go through. And on Android, once again, that's a great question. I mentioned earlier on that as with any new technology that effectively represents a new way of relating to the world, we were quite cautious in releasing it. And currently, as we've said, we're only available on iOS and Apple devices. And we know that more and more people are increasingly using Android devices because the overall accessibility has improved considerably over the last couple of years. So our plan is to certainly at some point in the future address the needs of those people who don't have an iPhone. We don't have a timeline that we can share with you, but we're very aware of the ask. And we know that as we go, for example, and release in more countries, the clamor for that is only going to increase.
Yes, I had. I just wanted them to expand a little bit. I've been using the app since it launched, the day it launched, and I just wondered about that. I have several markers set up in there, but I find the like when's the best time to use the audio beacon on those markers because they seem to give you a lot of extra information. I know the first time I used a soundscape on Bose frame glasses, that's what I use. I thought somebody was actually talking to me on my right side. But yeah, the audio beacon is kind of what I'd like a general explanation on.
So I'll wrap up with that question because I think we are almost on time. What I would just say to generally, Brian, there is, first of all, on the main menu of Soundscape, there's a feedback button. And we always love to get your questions and feedback on that email. You can also send us an email on soundscapefeed@microsoft.com, which is the same thing that will happen if you press the feedback button. To answer your question, the beacon is primarily used when you're heading somewhere that you'll... you'll press set a beacon and then you are offered a way to search for a place or look around, get a list of all the nearby places. Let's say you're going to a restaurant, you can search for that restaurant and select it. And then that audio beacon sound will begin. You can hear in which direction it's coming from. So you can hear where that restaurant is. And you can start making your way in that direction. Obviously, you'll have to make decisions along the way, which intersection to turn left, which intersection to turn right, based on the direction of that destination. But it's always a bird's eye view. It's always a straight line to that direction. It doesn't account for the zigzags that
you have. Thank you. Yes, thank you, everybody. I know we could have carried on for a lot more time just on, I feel the questions are just beginning to warm up. We'd be, first of all, thank you, everybody, for your time. We'd be happy to pick this up at a later time. Hopefully, a few more of you have now been encouraged to get out there and start using Soundscape. But yeah, very happy to pick this up again and carry on the conversation. It's a wonderful opportunity for us to hear and learn from yourselves. So we value this very much indeed.
Thank you both, Amos and Jarnelle, for taking the time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the GTT podcast from the Canadian Council of the Blind. There are many ways to get in touch with us. You can call us toll-free at 1-877-304-0968. You can follow our GTT blog at gttprogram.blog. If you'd like to subscribe to our email support list, you can send a blank email to gttsupport+subscribe@groups.io. And you can follow the Canadian Council of the Blind on the web at ccbnational.ca.